The Bible is filled with accounts of many godly men and women that are worthy of our emulation. One such person is Daniel, a man who obtained preeminence and power within his lifetime. He started out being preeminent among the children of Israel, according to chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, verses 3 through 6. As he went into captivity, he gained preeminence among the wise men of Babylon, chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. And he was given power over all of Babylon, Daniel chapter 2, and again in Daniel chapter 5. And then when Babylon went out of power and the Medo-Persian Empire came into existence, he received similar power then, Daniel chapter 6. How was Daniel able to receive these positions of power and influence without compromising his position as a godly man? A closer look at the book of Daniel reveals his secret and shows how we also can be successful without selling our souls. The first thing we notice about Daniel is that even as a young teenager, he was a man of purpose. Chapter 1, verse 8 tells us that Daniel purposed in his heart. A young boy in a strange land, he was immediately faced with a challenge that would violate God's law by eating the king's food. Now, despite his youth and the obvious pressures to conform, Daniel, the text says, purposed in his heart to uphold the law of God no matter the cost. Because of his willingness to put God first, God granted Daniel favor in the sight of others. Chapter 1 and verse 9. How God did this is really not explained, but it happened in the case of Joseph also in Genesis 39. By putting God first, God blessed Joseph in such a way that favorably impressed others. Every child of God needs to be a person of purpose. Nobody respects a person that is wishy-washy, someone with no direction in their lives. Whereas a strong sense of purpose often breeds respect and admiration in others. What should be the purpose of the Christian? Well, I think Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 6 and verse 33 that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, to seek the will of God and to fulfill it in our lives, no matter the circumstances. And just as Jesus promised, this will guarantee God's favor toward us and in turn will likely gain us favor in the eyes of those who are around us. So the question is, will you dare to be like Daniel? Dare to be a person with a purpose like Daniel had. No matter how young somebody may be, it is never too early to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But throughout his life, Daniel not only had a strong sense of purpose, but he was a man of principle. He refused to compromise his convictions. We go back to chapter 1, verse 8, and we see that as a young man, by refusing to eat the king's meat or drink his wine, he would not compromise. And then later on in Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, we see that as an old man, he refused the gifts of Belshazzar. And then under the threat of persecution, by refusing to obey the decree of Darius in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. You know, people admire a person of principle. Now, outwardly, they may ridicule them, but inwardly, they wish they had the same intestinal fortitude. And when they need someone that can be trusted and depended on to carry through with an assigned task, who do you think they will turn to? You know, God also admires individuals who will stand by their principles and by their words. It's what the psalmist speaks of in Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. But you know, our society that we live in is in great need of people with principle. And those who dare to be like Daniel and demonstrate by example the value of being led by principle rather than by price, they're not only highly valued by God, but they're also highly valued by their fellow man. But having purpose and principle is not all that we see with Daniel. Another element for his true success is what is needed in our lives as well. And that element is seen when we observe that Daniel was a man of purity. His opponents could not find any fault in his life. He was faultless when it came to the management of his business affairs. Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 through 4. And this would help him to explain, or help us to understand, his rise to positions of great responsibility and power. Now, of course, his purity in business affairs was related to his overall purpose to please God first. And the fact that as a man of principle, he could be trusted. The Christian is also to maintain purity in conduct. Whether you are young or old, we see that in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 and Titus 2 verses 6 and 8. Whether you're a slave or free, Titus 2 verses 9 and 10. People who maintain purity in their dealings with others are often given positions of great responsibility as well as privilege because they can be trusted to use them wisely. So yes, Daniel was a man of purpose. He was a man of principle. He was a man of purity. And oh, how the world needs more people like Daniel. But the element that likely tied all of these together in such a way as to receive the blessings from God and favor from man is the fact that Daniel was a man of prayer. We see in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 a glimpse of his prayer life. It says that he knelt in prayer. This was a demonstration of his humility. The text says that he prayed three times daily, every day, a demonstration of his continual dependence upon God. He gave thanks in the midst of being persecuted, a demonstration of his gratitude and the fact that he had not lost sight of God's blessings. His prayers were a custom since his early days, showing his persistence and faithfulness in his service to God. You know, I oftentimes liken Daniel, or ask the question in studying Daniel, how many young people today, remember Daniel was most likely a teenager when he went into captivity, and how many young people today would have the same purpose and purity and principle that we've seen in Daniel, let alone someone that's older, more mature in their age? You know, it's not likely that his custom to pray so diligently helped him to remain a man of purpose, principle, and purity. Despite his rise to power and preeminence over the empire. But you know what? Christians would do well to follow the example of Daniel. Strauss in his commentary says, "Let us learn the lesson that the finest of God's servants must maintain regular and fixed prayer habits in order to continue steadfast in devotion to the Lord." You see, as Christians, we are too to pray often. That's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18, Colossians 4, and verse 2. If our efforts to live a life of purpose, a life of principle, and a life of purity are not what they should be, then it could be because our prayer life is undisciplined. That could be the very reason. We are not talking to God as we should. Are we willing to be a Daniel in regards to our prayer life? You know, there's a false assumption that to get ahead in this world, we must conform to the sinful practices of the world. Well, Paul refutes that in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He tells us there that we're not to be conform to this world, but to be transformed from this world by renewing our minds. And he says that that is our reasonable sacrifice. A reasonable sacrifice that the Holy Spirit told the Apostle Paul is what we should have. And that reasonable sacrifice is that we don't live like the world. We don't have to get ahead the same way that the world says get ahead. We can get ahead in this life the way Daniel did. But even today, there are so many Christians who demonstrate that when one dares to be like Daniel, they too can succeed in the affairs of men without selling their souls to the world. The question that has to be asked is, what about you? Would you dare to be a Daniel? Would you dare to be a Daniel by becoming a person of purpose? A person of principle? A person of purity? And a person of prayer? You see, these 4 points is what this country, this society, is sadly missing in. We are no longer people of purpose or principle, let alone people of purity. And evidently we're not people of prayer because of the way our country is standing right now. It may be that you don't like this lesson. You don't agree with what I've said. I understand that, and I can respect that to the extent that as long as you have scripture to back up why you think I'm wrong. If you'd like to discuss with me this lesson or any other lesson, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can listen to this lesson again at church@eastside.com. Just open up the page there and the sermon list will be on the right hand side. You can scroll down and listen to any that we have recorded. You can find out other information about the church there at Eastside from the website or more information about me. And like I say, if you'd like to contact me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com, or you could join us this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship service. We will also have a midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. I would look forward to meeting any of you that would wish to meet me and find out more about me, or to even question anything that's been preached here or taught here in these classes. Again, I want to thank you for joining me tonight.